you say people who don't have medical training or specific medical knowledge would be able to detect illnesses in themselves and ourselves. First of all, just tell me how that would work.
Okay.
What are you talking about, I guess, is the first question.
In fact, we do a lot of self-diagnosis. We just don't normally recognize it as such.
So what does that look like right now? What are we
Exactly.
doing already?
Right. So in that regard, there was a time long ago and far away when if you wanted to know if you were pregnant or not, you had to go to a doctor. And then folks realized that that probably wasn't completely necessary, that you could have early tests that were highly accurate for whether or not you were pregnant and that those could be mass distributed. Well, having made that decision, which was partially a technological advance, partially a social advance, it never actually went much farther, which I've always found to be very interesting, despite the fact that consumers would very much like to know things like, I don't feel well today. Do I, in fact, have the flu and will be down for several days, which would help with planning? Or is it just the sniffles, right? I mean, you can imagine ways in which we could have some indicators of our healthcare state or even the future of our health. And yet, we don't really use them. Now, again, these tend to be market and social driven. I guess the one other major advance is that many diabetics now keep track of their own glucose levels. But in saying to me, gosh, could we really monitor our own health state? We already do. The question is, how much could we expand that and how might we expand that?
What is the expandability here? How much further could we go in doing this self-diagnosis?
Right. I believe we could go a very long way indeed. And part of the reason for that is we know much more about the molecular underpinnings of our healthcare than we ever have in the past. And a lot of that information is still filtering down into medical diagnostics that your doctor can administer to you. And this in no way would replace what you might do with yourself, but to the extent that one could have some of the same tests or some of the same ways to look at indicators, why not? Why not know early on that you potentially had a problem and then go to your doctor for confirmatory tests or for otherwise understanding what your healthcare status might be?
So what are you talking about when you're talking about the actual diagnostics here? Are we talking about blood tests? Are we talking about saliva tests? I mean,
Right.
what's the technology
Right.
at
So
play here?
now we're down to devil in the details, but of course the two we've mentioned so far, pregnancy test is based upon readily available bodily fluids, and glucose tests are based upon not quite so readily, but still increasingly less sort of invasive tests. I would like to start in particular with saliva-based tests for disease indicators or mucus-based tests or what have you. I mean, if you can sneeze, why doesn't the Kleenex turn a particular color if you have a particular disease indication from your sneeze? I mean, snot is snot, but what's in the snot is not. So
Say that again 3 times fast.
I may have to. But beyond that, I think it should be possible also to work towards, again, these minimally invasive diagnostics. And while I don't want to mention specific corporate names, which I'm not associated with, but again, why give free publicity anywhere? There are increasingly good ways to access blood that are painless, that require very little in the way of irritation or invasiveness. And so I think we're going to get to the point where, like modern glucose blood tests, it's going to be even less than a finger prick that will allow us to look at what's in the bloodstream.
Well, let's use the example of then the Kleenex and
Yeah.
the snot and figuring out if you have a cold or a flu or whatever's going on. Does that technology exist right now? Could we do that?
We probably could do that, but again, there's the difference between could we do it and do we want to do it? What would be the consumer driver? There was a huge consumer driver for pregnancy tests. There was a very big consumer driver for blood sugar tests. Now, will there be a similarly large driver for influenza testing, let's say? Not entirely clear. Not entirely clear that would sell. And so, in part, I view my job as getting things down to the point where they're so very cheap that we don't have to sell them, we can literally almost give them away. That anybody can make them, they can be mass produced, either, in garages or in factories. Now, I'm leaving aside, of course, the many, many regulatory issues that exist with that statement, but part of the way this work is funded is from the Gates Foundation, and they're very interested in developing very low-cost diagnostics for point of care or point of need in, resource-poor settings. But, from my vantage, there's no reason why something that I'm working on for a resource-poor setting shouldn't be available for us as well, shouldn't be available so that we can, as a group, monitor our healthcare status.
No test, of course, is perfect. So
Yeah.
you've got false positives, you've got false negatives, you've got operator error. I mean, I wouldn't trust myself necessarily to do or read a test, even if it's pretty simple, as well as somebody who's trained? How do you sort of factor in the human part there, and that I'm an untrained person and I would be trying to do this?
Right. What you've hit upon, I believe, is this really interesting question of how much risk is acceptable and what risk is that form in? Presumably, although, you know, again, I don't actually know, you were, if not now, at least at one point, perfectly willing to fill out your own tax returns, a reasonably complex technical procedure that had a consequence if you did it right or wrong or differently, but you were willing to accept that risk. It was a personal responsibility that you took on and tried to do to the best of your ability. You wouldn't say that you were a tax lawyer. You wouldn't say that, you know, at the end of that, I'm absolutely certain I filled this out right, but you did it. And yet, you know, you're less willing to say, I would like to know more about my own health, and certainly I will have confirmatory information backing me up at some point should I decide that I may have an early indicator of cancer, or I may have, you know, and now again, another good example, HIV. We've only recently made mass market available HIV tests. That took a long time. And I think that there was a particularly poignant, issue relating to, wow, what happens with a positive status? What does that mean? Is that something that we must do within a medical setting? Do we trust consumers to do that on their own? What will they do? What will be the consequences? And I fully understand that. But when we get to somewhat less dire circumstances, like perhaps, you know, do you have the flu? I would say that I'm willing to accept some risk of personal misdiagnosis for the information gained, just like I'm willing to fill out my own tax returns, cross fingers, and accept the risk of not having done that perfectly.
It feels to me as if there's a difference between sneezing to determine if you've got the flu or something and an HIV test or some kind of test that could indicate the possible presence of cancer, where it is a little more of a life or death question. And is that something we should be putting in consumers' hands without counseling or immediate follow-up information?
I would argue that the question you just asked is based upon a perception of the role of the medical community in our lives. And again, I have nothing against doctors. I have nothing against our healthcare system. It's an awesome healthcare system. But we also know that it is going to, you know, drive us into the poorhouse, as it were, that we are going broke on healthcare costs. I think it is incumbent upon the citizenry to take more healthcare responsibility onto themselves. I think there's actually going to be no choice in the matter. Now, your question of, are there some things that are more dire than others? Absolutely. But to differentiate between, oh my gosh, I have high cholesterol and that will kill me 30 years from now, and I have HIV and that may kill me, you know, a few months from now if I'm not appropriately treated, it's the same question. It's the question of personal responsibility relative to disease state and appropriately following up in terms of personal responsibility on that knowledge. More knowledge is better. And to try and differentiate on whether the knowledge kills you late or whether the knowledge kills you early strikes me as not the right question to ask.
So here's the thing that I'm thinking of when you're talking about funding from the Gates Foundation and the strong desirability to get this technology and accessibility to people who don't have access to a lot of this to begin with. What do you do then in a situation when you've got a population, they get access to the tests and say, you know, a group of them do discover, I do have high cholesterol, or I do have diabetes, I do have cells that indicate cancer, but I don't have access to doctors, or I don't have a way to do anything about this?
That's a great question. And again, in sort of a different vernacular, I'd argue that question's a little above my pay grade. But nonetheless, I, as anyone who knows me will attest, I have no shortage of hubris, and so I'm happy.
Have you tested for that? Do you know that you have?
I wish there was a good test for it.
Okay.
I would like to. Hopefully, my kids will test negative. But in any event, what I think is appropriate to do in such circumstances is again to take responsibility for getting the resources. Now, that could mean, you know, voting differently about our healthcare systems. But it can also mean other things. I think that if you have a group of folks who have a particular disease indicator, you can band together to do a variety of things. And we already see this in the form of patient advocacy groups. How much more powerful would patient advocacy groups be if they could self-test? How much more powerful would patient advocacy groups be if they knew something about, you know, stratifying the particular disease indicator that they were interested in, or forming completely new consortia based upon, you know, disease indicators, or having overlapping sets of interests with other patient advocacy groups? You can take on that interest politically or just in terms of societal needs. But then beyond that, what happens when we can begin to perhaps, and this is actually a particularly interesting issue in Texas, form groups to change the actuarial tables or form groups to change how we pursue insurance based upon healthcare status, right? Again, these are all things that individuals banding together can do. And you can view this as just sort of an extension of what's already happened with the internet revolution, now many years old, but finally bleeding down, as it were, to healthcare, where if we can connect up our own body's status to the status of many other individuals without going through medical record keeping, what can we do?
I mean, this idea is coming up at such an interesting time, because I'm thinking of this with the intersection of the Affordable Care Act and the way that sort of the complexion of healthcare coverage and healthcare in the country is changing and evolving right now.
Yes. Right. So again, I'm just a lowly technologist, you know, putting tools in people's hands, hopefully. But nonetheless, I think that it's the right place, right time, that people will make these decisions, just as they made many decisions about how they were going to use the internet and what types of bandings could occur on the internet. Many things we never even anticipated could be, you know, or like, you know, when you stuffed a couple of wires in germanium, did you imagine Facebook? Well, probably not. So if we make low-cost diagnostics, what will come of that? I don't know. I just know that it feels right to give more knowledge and more information to individuals.
You use the phrase, you know our body status or know our health status. And it seems to me that sometimes we have kind of a funny relationship with that. And there's a certain segment of the population when you talk about, for example, testing for genetic predisposition for things. People don't want to know things sometimes.
And they're not required to. I mean, again, that's the beauty of it, I think, when you leave it to the individual, when it is not state mandated one way or the other. One would hope that if there are economic drivers, wow, if I do know this, it'll be worth something to me in terms of my insurance benefits. That would be good. Now, that cuts both ways. Oh my gosh, I'm going to have higher insurance premiums because I know this. And I think that there is a definite need to regulate that at a larger level. But in general, I think that people can decide what knowledge they want. And so let me be more specific. I think a lot of people at this point self-medicate, for want of another term, not with, you know, recreational drugs, but with herbals and nutritional supplements, that people really believe these work. There aren't a ton of clinical studies, because many people self-medicate for different reasons, different ways at different times. What if there were a way to test whether a given supplement, you know, did or didn't, you know, come out in your urine? Your load was X or Y or Z, and your healthcare status as defined by you. I feel better. I feel worse. I feel different. Could also be uploaded. So now we have, you know, real quantified variables. Here's how much is in me, and here's how I feel. And you compare that across populations. Would we actually get to the point where people could make intelligent decisions about rose hip, it's the best ever, versus that's just silly? And again, I'm not trying to put down supplements nor exclude the possibility of how we deliver medical and healthcare in the way we do it currently. I'm just saying people are already voting with their feet. Let's give them the tools to vote intelligently.
I think another interesting sort of intersection with this idea of being able to test and get information ourselves is, I think there's a way that kind of society at large regards doctors, nurses, healthcare professionals, and I've got a hand up in the air here, is up on a pedestal a bit because of the specialized training and knowledge and experience that they have. And I could see that this could kind of shake up a lot of consumers' relationship with, I'll say, the healthcare industry, because people would be taking some of that knowledge and bringing it to themselves.
Right. But I think you'll find that's true, but that I'm hoping, for the most part, that very few doctors or nurses or healthcare professionals will disagree with that. Already you have people who go in, including, you know, myself, my wife, go into their doctor and say, hey, I looked this up on Google, right? And
we all WebMD.
Or WebMD, right? So okay. So it's not like we're not already trying to more actively participate in our healthcare. If we have even more tools to do so, it may be that the doctor will tell you, you know, look, that particular diagnostic is just silly. Quit bringing it to me. Just like they may say, the fact that you read about the Black Plague does not mean that you have the Black Plague. That's fine. But we are defining that relationship. And I think that, in fact, many healthcare professionals applaud people taking a more active interest in their healthcare. You know, more preventive healthcare, preventing more chronic interventions that cost society huge amounts of money. I'm not sure anybody in the healthcare industry is going to be, you know, worried about that. And again, just to sort of finish off here for those listening, you know, another status of privileged individual who is often, you know, thought of as on a pedestal are professors. Take my word for it. We are just educational laborers, and the more you can participate in your own education, the happier we are to work with you.
So parallel to the point you're making about healthcare.
That's right. You know, having people who actually work with you on the thing that you're most interested in is awesome.
I can also see a generational interest in the gadgetry side of this, the testing, the data, that sort of piece of it being appealing to people who are growing up with a higher comfort level with that, right, and more interaction with that.
Right. And so one of the things that me and my colleague Dick Crooks, who I work with on this, think about is sort of the form factor of what we're going to deliver. And so I've been trying to imagine chewable diagnostics. You actually sit there and put them in your mouth and chew on them for a while and then take them out and literally, for the part that wasn't completely chewed up, plug them in your cell phone. And the whole process of, okay, fair enough.
So I'm trying to imagine. So you put something like a piece of bubble gum in your mouth and you chew on it and then you stick it on cell phone.
And so imagine there's a little, there's in there at least one hard part. Okay. And that hard part is now covered up, so it's not all filled with saliva and whatnot. But yeah, you chew it up, you take it out, you take off the casing and you plug it in and it says, oh, you know, in your saliva was X and Y and Z and Q. Now, there are other form factors that you can imagine, well, that maybe are slightly less messy, but I've just been trying to work through which of these form factors might best work for exactly the reason you say. What will be most amenable to consumers? What will they be willing to buy into, to use on a daily basis, to make part of their lives? So this sort of digitization of health status, you know, turning us into electrons that represent, you know, on a day-to-day basis, who we are in terms of our health becomes trivial, becomes, you know, not, you know, oh, I've got to schlep off to the doctor's office and when do I have an hour that I'm going to do this and da-da-da-da-da. That's still part of it if something's really wrong. But up until that point, you can better work, you know, with your friends, with groups online, and with your healthcare professionals to improve overall your understanding of your healthcare and what you can do with that understanding.
So next time you come, bring a sample test, and we're going to chew on this or sneeze in a Kleenex or do one of these things. So
okay,
that
that's still in the future.
Right. Well, whenever that is, we'll be here. So whenever it is, you can come back. Professor Andrew Ellington, we thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.